All right, what a blessing to be able to share this time together with all of you. Like I say, my friends, near or far, wherever you are, some of you part of our Cornerstone Online community. We've been tracking together for quite a while now. Others of you just joining us these past few weeks. Some of you maybe even joining us for the very first time. And if that's you, I'm Pastor Terry, lead pastor here, Cornerstone Church in San Francisco. So happy, so thankful you're with us right now. You know, our series is called Afterlife, talking about heaven. It's reality, what Jesus talked about when he mentioned the life which is to come, what it would be like, how that's intended to affect us here in this life, how we're supposed to live and love, our purpose, our meaning, what it means to have a sense of future, all these things. I'm giving today's teaching message a title. I'm calling it Forever Young, because I think that's something we're invited into. I'll talk more about that in a moment and why this particular message is so meaningful and special for me. I'd like to go back to 1 Corinthians 13, though, the love chapter, but we're going to move past that part that talks about what love is, what love looks like, and we're going to settle into verses 11 and 12, and just because they talk about what is to come, and I want us to just be able to sit with them and try to understand what we're being invited into here. So Paul writes, when I was a child, I talked like a child, I felt like a child, reasoned like a child. But when I became a man, I put away from me childish ways. For the present, we see things as if in a mirror, and we're puzzled. Like life doesn't always make sense. But then we shall see them face to face. For the present, the knowledge I gain is imperfect. All of our learning is not the full picture. But then I shall know fully. Think about this, it's incredible. Even as I am fully known. Basically, what the Apostle Paul is saying is, hey, listen, hey, we haven't seen anything yet. I mean, you just wait. I think Paul's primary point is that this life compared to the one that's coming is a bit like child's play. Hey, we don't even know what we don't know. Every era, every decade, every year, scientists and people, human beings, discover more of what we didn't know. And then we bring that into our collective understanding. But one of the things that it's reminding us of is that we don't always know what we don't even know. I mean, I suspect that there's going to, I mean, if we were able to be given full understanding, which someday we are being told we will be, for we will, think about this, we will know even as we are known. We will know fully even as we are fully known. That's incredible. Someday things are going to open up to us in a way that we have just bits and pieces of right now. What's more, we're going to get consumed in God's overwhelming love. And yeah, his holiness and goodness in his life, his light will fill all things growing and beautiful. It's impossible for us to really comprehend what is ahead. There's a reason why the Bible only speaks in broad strokes, because it's not trying to get us to understand some things that we don't even have the capacity to understand. Like it's not. It's trying to speak through the language of our experience about something that we can't yet even comprehend fully. So even when you think about heaven and you think about things like, you know, how the Bible sometimes talks about it in metaphor, golden streets and you know, shining light, and I'm gonna assume that there's nothing, like we have no idea of the beauty that awaits us. No idea. The most beautiful parts of the human experience, and I personally believe that's connected to creation and nature, are but foreshadows. Because this is a broken world. The one that we're going to head into is a world crafted for us and seemingly filled with unlimited expansion. So I can't wait. But then there's a part of me that that can't wait because I'm not trying to escape the only life I've ever known. But anyway, go back. I want to go back to that 11th verse because when it talks about how when Paul says, you know, when I was young, when I was a child, I thought as a child, you know, I felt like a child, I understood things like a child, but now I'm older, I've put away childish things. I mean, that 11th verse has been used, I think justifiably so, we're certainly invited to do it this way, as a call to spiritual maturity. Like it's time to grow up. Like God wants us in light of our eternal story to grow up in our faith and understanding in our earthly story. So there's a desire that the Lord has for us to not just stay spiritual babies, but to expand our faith, to deepen our faith, to deepen our understanding of God. And I think it's totally appropriate to look at that 11th verse and see it as an invitation to the growing life, the deeper life with Christ. No question about it. But it's also a reminder that this is not all there is. And that really, in many ways, as I alluded to earlier, this life is really just child's play compared to the adult life that's ahead, if you can look at it that way, the big life that's coming. Listen, we all have an earthly story, and none of us know its full duration. I don't know. I don't know when my last calendar box is, right? I don't know when the last date of my life is here on earth. I don't know yours. I just know we're all, unless the Lord comes first, we're all going to have one. But when that happens, when that last page of the calendar, as it were, is turned, that earthly story of ours is going to fold into an eternal story. And there's just no way around it. You know, it's appointed, because that moment is coming. Bible says in Hebrews 9:27, it's appointed unto a person, a man, once to die. And after that, there's the judgment. There's going to be a point where we're held accountable for how we've lived our life, what we've done with Jesus in this life, if he's been presented to us. This week, as I mentioned earlier, is a special week for me. It's a birthday week. If all goes well, by the time you hear this, I will be nearing my 60th year marker, because I was born on May 2nd, 1963, actually here in San Francisco, where I'm recording this right now. And my story in this life started, you know, in this life, started somewhere in my mother's womb, you know, this me. I have to believe in God's mind. I was known even before I ever was conceived, right? But that's a whole nother path. Like God knows. God knows everything. And time doesn't contain God. God's eternal. So if I could say it this way, he sees everything as if it were happening in the moment, eternal moment. So what is that? What I'm trying to say is, I was born. My mom and dad, they had met in high school. At the time, neither of them were followers of Jesus. My mother was a recently arrived immigrant born in 1944. She grew up in what was known as Indonesia, the Dutch East Indies. She was mostly Dutch and Armenian, and she had a little Indonesian as well. But the Dutch had colonized Indonesia, and well, after World War II, and this is more just a little quick historical note, but after World War II, many of the European colonies began to claim their independence, and it created a lot of calamity. It was a dangerous time. There was a lot of violence, a lot of resentment, and it just left huge vacuums, and those vacuums weren't always filled in safe ways. But because my mother and the family had come from mostly Europe, she had to leave. And they left when she was 13, and they went back to Holland, Netherlands now. And she stayed in school there from the ages of 13 to 16. And eventually, she and my grandmother, from my mother's side, made their way to the United States. My grandfather from my mother's father was not able to get in. So they had to go, and he actually went to Iran and had to wait there until he was able to get to the United States. So I'm giving you a lot more detail. But the bottom line is this. That was just my mother's side. But she was well-educated, not in American culture, but she was well-educated. My mother was prepared to go to college. She had been in advanced math. She spoke multiple languages. She was well-versed in humanities and the arts and history because her mother was a school teacher. But when she came to the United States, when she came to San Francisco, she was just trying to fit in. She didn't really understand American culture, and she was bored. And she was trying to be accepted. And she met the young man who would ultimately be my father. And you know, as my mother and I were sharing a few months back, instead of going to college, she had me. That's right. They didn't intend to get married in the same way that they didn't intend to get pregnant. But I'm thankful they did both, right? Because I wouldn't be here otherwise. I wouldn't. I suppose in a different era, even after I was conceived, I probably would have been aborted. You know, two high schoolers. I mean, think about that, or at least my mom was at the time. But I wasn't. And so I sit here right now as lead pastor of the church that my father's father founded with a few families. So it was the other side. That was my grandfather, who was a pastor. Now, I have no idea of how many days I have left on my earthly sojourn here, but I do know one thing. I'm closer. I gotta say it. Been thinking a lot about it. Birthday's coming. It's not just anyone either. But I know I'm closer to my end date than I have ever been. Don't know that last box on the calendar, whether I'll slip away to the next life with a firm grip or a gentle one, in fits and stages, slowly or quickly. I don't know. I don't know if I'll leave with time to say goodbye or no time to reply. I can't really say. But I know it's coming. And I can say another thing. I'm so grateful. I am. I'm grateful to have lived as long as I have. I'm grateful that I've been, at least up to this point, mostly healthy. I'm grateful that I was taught about Jesus when I was a boy, just a little guy. I was brought to Sunday school. Some of you who are parents, don't underestimate the power of having a rhythm of coming to the Lord's house, coming to church, being a part of a church community, and bringing your little ones to be taught the things and the ways of Jesus, because I've never forgot those stories. They were planted into my heart deeply. Even now, I draw from them. As a pastor of so many years, it still goes all the way back to when I was taught the scriptures and the Bible, and those things were reinforced to me. How much even more significant is it in a kind of post-Christian culture like ours, where most of the discussion Jesus isn't allowed into? You know? So church is huge. Anyway, I'm thankful that I was taught about Jesus as a boy. I'm thankful, grateful that I chose to welcome him into my heart as a teenager and was baptized. You know, I confessed him as my Savior and my Lord, and was touched by his very real presence. The Holy Spirit affected my life in a dramatic way. And you know, and by the way, if some of you have never, I never know. Some of you may be right on the edge of accepting Jesus as your Savior, as your Lord, confessing him, welcoming him into your life, welcoming his eternal story into your earthly story. It's the best thing you can ever do. You'll never regret it. You will not regret it. The only thing we'll ever regret when it comes to Jesus is not accepting him. The time is now. Eternal destiny is connected to what we do with Jesus in the now. And there's something about being baptized too. I feel like it's important. Jesus was baptized. Jesus told us to be baptized. What does it mean? It means we're identifying with him as his follower. If you've never been baptized in water, which again is symbolically represents dying and coming out and rising again into new life, it's confessing him. If you've never done that, you know, in a public way, I really want to encourage you. You know, let us know. We got a whole team here that's going to respond and help you and do everything we can to make sure that you are being supported in your desire to follow Jesus, right? That's part of why we exist. But like I said, I'm just grateful. I came to know Jesus. It affected the decisions I made. It kept me out of so much trouble. Not that I didn't get into any trouble, but as I look back on my years, it's all because of the choice I made to follow Jesus and to keep following him, even when I didn't always do it right. Haven't always done it the way I should, but I'm not going to turn back. No way. Not going to turn back. I've run this far. I'm going to finish by God's grace, finish well, but I'm grateful. I'm grateful for my wife of all these years, the wife of my youth, for my children, for my children's children, for the special people in my life that have crossed the paths of my life. Some seasons, some people mean so much to us. Doesn't mean it'll always be forever. It doesn't always last for a duration of a lifetime. Sometimes it was just meant for a season, a short part of the journey together. But I'm thankful for all the people, some of you, who've prayed for me. And I'm thankful for this church. I really am. And for the privilege it's been and is now to serve. And I pray that by God's grace, maybe got some good years left to serve you and to help lead and be a good shepherd. But I remember, I remember way back in 1993, I preached a message and I called it Turning 30. And then 2003, I preached another message. And it was, I called it Turning 40. And then I preached another one in 2013. Yeah, you can guess what that one was. I called it Turning 50. And now I'm turning 60. But I just decided, I don't want to call it that. Just decided I was going to call it Forever Young. And anyway, to prepare for this message, I revisited Billy Graham's book, Nearing Home. I so appreciated the honest words of this great man, who I admire because not only of his impact, but because of the way he finished his life. He brought no shame to Jesus. And he only changed the lives through the message of Christ, of thousands upon thousands upon thousands of people, probably affected millions of people for the way of Jesus. When you consider the effects that he even now still is occurring because of what he had been able to do on behalf of the Lord and just being obedient. We're all tied together. None of our faith story, which will become an eternal story, is an isolated story. We're all connected to somebody. Somebody prayed for us. Somebody prayed for the person who prayed for us. It goes all the way back somewhere. We're all just part of a larger story, aren't we? Anyway, I wanted to share some of his words because, well, he lived into his 90s, and Graham had always assumed he would die young, so he was caught off guard by aging. He thought just because longevity wasn't in his family's history and the way that he had lived, he had burned the candle so hard for so many years as a traveling evangelist going all over the world, that he just assumed that he was going to die young, and it caught him off guard when he didn't. In fact, he said he was prepared to serve Jesus and he was prepared to live for Jesus, but he says, I really wasn't prepared to grow old as a follower of Jesus. He says, I had something I had to learn. Anyway, he wrote this. He says, I never thought I would live to be this old. This is the opening of his book, Nearing Home. He says, I will soon celebrate my 93rd birthday, and I know it won't be long before God calls me home to heaven. More than ever, I look forward to that day. Not just because of the wonders I know heaven holds in store for me and for every believer, but because I know that finally all the burdens and sorrows that press down upon me at this stage in my life will be over. And he wrote this. This was around 2010, but he said, during the last year, the physical ailments common to old age really have taken their toll on me. And then he shifts to the focus, well, to the love that he lost, but in some way hopes to recover. I look forward to that day, talking about when he goes to heaven, because I will be reunited with Ruth, my beloved wife and best friend for almost 64 years, who went home in 2007 to be with the Lord she served so faithfully. Although I rejoice that her struggles with weakness and pain have all come to an end, I still feel a part of me has been ripped out. I miss her. I miss her far more than I could have ever imagined. Someday, he writes, our life's journey will be over. And then he shares something that should get all of our attention. For he says, in a sense, we are all nearing home. It's true. It's just that some days we feel closer to that home than others. And for me, this is one of those days. Graham went on to share a quote that I have grown fond of. He said, old age is inevitable if we live long enough. Isn't that the truth? And another Graham shared was from John Newton, the one who gave us Amazing Grace, the redeemed slave trader. John Newton said something. He said, I am still in the land of the dying. I shall be in the land of the living soon. That's what he said as he was approaching his time of his departure, time of his death. Think about that. I'm still in the land of the dying. That's how he described his earthly existence. And I shall be in the land of the living soon. Wow. Between now and then, between the land of the living and the land of the dying, it's important to remember, as another great, amazing follower of Jesus, a hero of mine as well, Corrie Ten Boom, she suggested, listen to this one. The measure of life is not its duration, but its donation. The measure of life is not its duration, but its donation. Jesus taught us to think eternal, to keep our eyes on the right place, to stay focused on the right things. Let's be careful to be rich towards God. Look at what Jesus said. Luke 12, someone in the crowd said to him, teacher, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me. That's a now focus. But he said to him, man, who made me a judge or an arbitrator over you? And then a shift. And he said to them, take care and be on your guard against all covetousness, for one's life does not consist in the abundance of his possessions. And then he told them a parable saying, the land of a rich man produced plentifully. And he thought to himself, what shall I do? For I have nowhere to store my crops. And he said, I will do this. I will tear down my barns and build larger ones. And there I will store all my grain and all my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, you have ample goods laid up for many years. Relax, eat, drink, be merry. But God said to him, fool, this night your soul is required of you. Time to go. And the things you have prepared, whose will they be? And then Jesus summarizes it with this statement. So is the one, come on now, who lays up treasure for himself and is not rich towards God. Part of being rich towards God is living well for him. Stay with me on this progression. Part of being rich towards God is living well for him. And a key to living well for him is to be mature. But in the kingdom of Jesus, maturity is connected to childlikeness. Think about that for a moment. Maturity is connected to childlikeness. Not childishness, but childlikeness. Jesus said we are to be like a child when it comes to following him. Ours is an invitation to stay young at heart, right? In spirit and soul. And listen, if I can say it this way, to be forever young, right? Never stop growing, never stop learning, never stop loving. Always open to God's overtures. The song of the Lord, more clearly we hear it in our ear, calling to us, calling us home. Someday we will be given a released mind and a new body to pursue what the mind conceives. Think about that in the context of the goodness and the holiness of God. Wow. Between now and then, between now and that day, Let us love well and use our time well. Love well. Lord, help us. No malice. No bitterness. No bitterness. Come on. No bitterness. Some of us need to just forgive. Let it go. No unresolved anger. Love well. Use our time well. It's another one. Lord, teach us to number, as we are taught in Psalm 90, to number our days. That is, which is a curious phrase, that is, don't squander them. And treasure the time that we've been given as an opportunity to love God and love others. Let's not squander our days, but treasure our most meaningful opportunities and most beautiful ones. Whoever this is for, the golden hour will not last forever. It's true when you're taking a picture. There's a certain time, man, that golden hour is beautiful. But that golden hour will not last forever. And so it is with us in life. You know, Billy Graham reflected wistfully, I just read one more thing he said, on some things that made me want to better treasure this present opportunity. He said, while I choose not to dwell on the past, look at this, or relive my youth, there are times I long to hike up into the hills with my children or stand in the pulpit and deliver a gospel message, is what he said. But the walker and the wheelchair and the cane near my bed, they remind me that that chapter in life is past. So I thank God for the memories that have enriched my life, but, and now watch him pivot. I look forward to new opportunities and to experiences that can add some dimension to the present. And he wasn't just talking about heaven. That he already told us that's where he wants to go. He's ready to go. But he was talking about still staying focused on the growing life. And then he said this, our attitudes play a major role in the closing scene of life stage. He wasn't just mailing it in. He was going to finish well. You know, it's very easy to stop growing and instead to yield to a kind of a sadness and regret, to get stuck in the unworthy and the unloving. But the better play, and that's true for us no matter where we are in life. Come on now. But the better play is always a forward glance. Let's not look back too far. I can look back and get encouraged a little bit. I can look back and say, I learned from that. But I'm not going to look back and live there. I need to keep, the Christian way is a forward glance. So let's instead walk in the freedom of Christ, what I call the happy way of Jesus, as much as possible. That's what we're invited into. That's our earthly story assignment. The happy way of Jesus as much as possible. And so my final thought here, is to own our attitudes. I can't control circumstances or other people's choices. I can't even control how I'm going to leave this world. Not really. And I mean, if you really want to get down to it, circumstances affect that, but I can control my response to them. And my attitude in life, and I can submit all things to Christ, and I can learn from everything and anything. I can grow. We can stay childlike of heart. We can. Not naive, but increasingly free. Becoming all we were created to be in Christ Jesus, running our race by grace until the end. Young at heart. That's what I'm talking about in this life and forever young in the next. All right. Even so, let it be, Lord Jesus. Let it be. Let's keep that in mind as we share this song of worship. Reminds us to have a heart full of praise even as the days go by. So let's share this moment. I want to come back around, close this out, bless you. So here we go.
I was lost and could not see, but you did not give up on me to save me from my guilt and shame. You stepped into the world you made,
and on the cross of Calvary you gave your life to set me free.
Death would not have final say. Jesus, you rose from the grave,
standing in your victory. Your spirit is alive in me. Forever I will sing your name. Hands high, heart full of praise.
After every race is run, I will see my Savior's face. Hands high, heart full of praise.
For you are crowned the King of Kings, and you are robed in majesty. Forever I will sing your name.
That's right. Heart full of praise, hands lifted high. Someday we're going to see his face. In the meantime, let's run this race. Let's run this race well. Part of doing that is learning how to live with maturity. You know, think about that. The Lord doesn't want us to live childish. He wants us to live with maturity. And part of living with spiritual maturity that affects other parts of our life for sure, our emotional life, our relational life, everything's affected by our spiritual life. Part of living our spiritual life in a mature way is cultivating a childlike heart so that we're always open, staying open to wonder and learning and loving and growing in God's grace. Remember, even though change is inevitable, growth is optional. We get to decide that. And my prayer is that all of us will write our earthly story better. We get to choose. And I choose Jesus. I do. And I want you to do that too. Let's love him better. Let's live our life as one informed by not only his presence, by his promise as well. Forever young. Yeah, that's where we're heading. Together. May it be so, Lord. In your name we pray. Amen.